Our next speaker is Courtney Creamer. Our co-authors are Timothy Philly, Thomas Booten, and Isla Cantola, using long-term soil incubations to determine drivers of soil organic and carbon accumulation in response to woody encroachment. Courtney?
Thank you. Thanks for that introduction, and thanks for being here today to listen to me talk. So, grasslands and savannas cover 20% of the Earth's surface and store 30% of global soil organic carbon. So any changes to carbon stocks within these ecosystems has the potential to impact the global carbon cycle. Woody encroachment occurs globally and does alter the carbon budget of soil. It often happens in result of management practices such as overgrazing and fire suppression. But both carbon accrual and loss have been observed in these ecosystems, despite the fact that a large portion of the U.S. carbon sink has been attributed to woody encroachment. So I look at woody encroachment in a field site in southern Texas, and this is actually a picture of the field site. Here's the grasses in the foreground and the woodland in the background. And what we're trying to determine is what are the mechanisms for carbon accrual at this site, and how stable is the accrued carbon. In order to understand carbon stability at this site, we should briefly go over some general mechanisms of carbon stabilization, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. So you can have changes in plant chemistry that result in compounds that are more difficult for microorganisms to degrade. You can have protection on mineral surfaces, protection with thin aggregates, which you just heard a little bit about, and some other microbiological factors such as water or temperature limitations. So as I mentioned, the field site's in southern Texas. It's actually about 2 hours directly south of us. And the important thing to notice in here is that these soils are very sandy. So they're 80% sand, 10% silt, and 10% clay. So any changes in carbon accrual in the system, we would expect to be as a big result of changes in plant input chemistry. Right, so any changes in plant input chemistry are largely expressed in these soils due to their sandy texture. As I mentioned, this site is experiencing woody plant encroachment, and it's encroachment of C3 woodlands into a mixed C3-C4 grassland. And this imparts an isotopic label on the soil organic carbon. So what you see here is these soils were sampled along a space-for-time chronosequence. So in the blue diamonds are the woodland soils, so at about 30 years, the isotopic composition of the soil organic carbon begins to resemble the C3 plant inputs, whereas grassland soils that are sampled nearby to the woodlands remain constant at about negative 19 per mil. So I can use this isotopic shift to study carbon dynamics at this site. I mentioned that there's carbon accrual at this site, and this is what this graph is showing you. So here is the space for time chronosequence along the x-axis, with the grassland sites are now just averaged as time zero. And so as you move through time, oh, there's my mouse, you go from about 0.5% to up to 2% soil organic carbon. In addition, these colored bars are trying to show you that as you move along the chronosequence, you get a decrease in free silts and clays and a decrease in water-stable microaggregates and a concurrent increase in the free light fraction, which is defined here as everything that floats on water, and an increase in the water-stable macroaggregate soil fraction. So what we can say from this is that increased physical protection is not responsible for the increased soil organic carbon at this site because we're seeing an increase in carbon pools that traditionally have shorter mean residence times. So what could be a mechanism for carbon accrual? Well, there are changes in plant input chemistry, some of which are reflected in the soil. So for example, as you move along the chronosequence, you get a loss of the more easily degradable cinnamyl monomers of lignin. You also get an increase in substituted fatty acids and increases in lignin. And this has led to the hypothesis that the carbon accrual is coming from these biochemically recalcitrant materials. And I'm putting it in quotes because you know, there is some question as to whether any molecules are truly biochemically recalcitrant in the environment. However, changes in plant chemistry to compounds that are slightly more difficult to degrade is important in terms of short-term carbon dynamics or shorter-term carbon dynamics, which is more what we were looking at in response to this ecosystem shift. So to test the effects of changing plant chemistry upon soil organic carbon degradation and therefore accrual, we incubated 2 grams of the top 10 centimeters of the mineral soil, and you saw this figure earlier, but here's all the soil, the free light fraction, which is everything that floats on water, and the macroaggregate size fraction. So these are water-stable macroaggregates, which were isolated by wet sieving, and above 250 microns. And they were incubated at 30 C for a year, and we measured the quantity and isotopic composition of the CO2 that was being respired. So moving on to the results, these are the results from the macroaggregate fraction on the left and the free light fraction on the right. And so what you can see is that older woody stands along the chronosequence, some more established woody stands, respire significantly less of the initial carbon that's there than more recently established woody stands and grasslands. And this is significant for every sampling day in both of the soil fractions. Because of the fact that these soils are of similar texture, they were incubated under constant moisture, under constant temperature, we can say that changes in respiration in these soil fractions is due to changes in plant input chemistry, where we're seeing an effect of moving to more woody tissues, slowing down degradation in the older woody stands. However, when you look at the whole soil, you actually see a completely opposite result, where you have greater respiration of the initial percentage of soil organic carbon respired from older woody stands than younger woody stands and grasses. And so the reason for this is because of the fact that there's so much more carbon being allocated to these more physically unprotected soil fractions, to the free light fraction, to the macroaggregate fraction, that figure I showed you earlier with the colored bars. All this allocation of carbon to these more physically unprotected fractions is overwhelming any of the changing plant chemistry inhibitions that we are seeing in the soil fractions themselves. So this is what is dominating respiration in the whole soil, is allocation to unprotected soil fractions. When we look at the isotopic data, this is, in this graph, is the isotopic composition of the CO2 that was respired during the incubation. And what I have here is an inset of the first 30 days of the incubation. And what you can see is that CO2 of a similar isotopic composition was respired in all three of these landscape elements, despite having initially different isotopic compositions. And since it's around negative 20 per mil, we interpreted this as a loss of grassland-derived carbon within the first 30 days of the incubation, which we thought was a result of the disturbance actually fractionating the soil, taking it out, so these older woody sands are actually able to be respiring, you know, carbon that's 80 years or older. Looking at the rest of the graph, this is basically showing the isotopic composition of CO2 relative to the isotopic composition of the macroaggregate fraction. So this can give you an idea of the degree of fractionation relative to the bulk source. And what you can see is there's a strong enrichment in the beginning, and then the older woody stands are resembling the source carbon, while the younger woody stands and grasses are becoming progressively depleted through time. And we interpreted this, basically there's two things that can be happening, either a preferential degradation of C3 carbon or of 13C depleted carbon sources, such as lignin, for example, and younger woody stands and grasses. Looking at the free light fraction, again, we see a graph of the isotopic composition of the respired CO2, and this is the CO2 relative to the isotopic composition of the free light fraction. So again, we see an initial pulse of enriched CO2 in the beginning of the incubation. However, if you notice, the degree of isotopic fractionation is similar between all these three landscape elements, which is in contrast to what we saw with the macroaggregate fraction, where we were degrading a similar source. This appears to be a similar degree of fractionation relative to what is already there. As you can see, it's resembling grassland and woodland as it's going throughout the incubation. And then as we move through time, we have an isotopic composition that either resembles or is slightly enriched relative to the source. Because the free light fraction, you can almost think of it as like litter. This is likely due to the degradation of 13 enriched compounds, such as cellulose, or some type of fractionation during decomposition. And then when we look at the whole soil, we can also see a small pulse, very small pulse, of enriched CO2. And this is a pattern that's seen in a number of soil incubations where you start off with a depleted isotopic composition and it becomes slightly enriched. And then, as we move through time, we actually see, which is the most interesting part of this graph, is there's quite a substantial depletion of the carbon that's being respired relative to the isotopic composition of the soil organic carbon, you know, up to 5 per mil in the younger woody stands. And we took this as support of preferential degradation of C3 carbon from these more physically unprotected soil fractions. As we move on, the allocation of carbon into unprotected soil fractions is overwhelming the biochemical recalcitrance, or overwhelming the effects of plant chemistry that we're seeing in the soil fractions. And the isotopic data helped us to confirm this by seeing those really negative isotopic values of the CO2 being respired relative to the bulk soil organic carbon. And from the soil isotope data, we could also determine that the fractions differed from one another and the whole soil in terms of the source of the carbon that was being respired, where macroaggregates were dominated at first by an effect from the disturbance where they were releasing old carbon and then moved to a more progressive depletion through time. And the free light fraction was likely had very little fractionation relative to the source or was degrading enriched 13 C compounds. And the whole soil was dominated by C3 carbon from soil fractions. So this is important when thinking about this data in terms of an ecosystem context, because what we can say is that the carbon that's being stabilized in this soil is likely not, well, it's not very stable. The carbon that's accruing is likely not very stable because of the fact that we were able to lose it so quickly during a soil incubation. In addition, the macroaggregates were extremely sensitive to disturbance. So that's all I have, and if you guys have any questions, I'd be more than happy to take them, if we have time.
Questions?
No?
Plenty of time.
Yes. Did I sand correct my aggregate fractions? I guess I don't know what you mean by that. Oh, okay. Yeah, so in terms of the weight distribution, yeah, we did not correct them for sand.
Okay.
Thank you.